going through the Gemara quickly, Bavam and Aleph to Zion and Beis, because it's all interconnected, and just identifying some of the topics and some of the issues. For today and for Sunday, our major focus is on the question of Demai, and also we'll start off with the question of Takala, as it relates to Demai. Okay. Let's start with, again, instead of repeating the Gemara in Hamad Beis, we know the Gemara in Hamad Beis brought in the question of Takala Shlomo. How so? How is Takala the question of Behemten Shal Tzadikim, Ena Kadosh Baruch Hu, maybe Takala Yadon? It was brought in on the Gemara in Hey Hamad Beis already, Gemara that we saw previously. Right in the context of, remember?
Yeah.
Kuti. Yeah, what's the Gemara about Kuti? Go ahead.
Yeah,
the Gemara says that they wrote out Kusi from Klal Yisrael, an issue that we discussed, a very fascinating paradigm, right? And when they did that, the question is whether it was accepted or not. That's how the Gemara first gets into this discussion. The Gemara says that, the Gemara reports that what?
That
Amravasi Ani Raisi,
that
Ochal Vishkitas Kuti, and Afravasi Ochal Vishkitas Kuti, and the question was, right, whether or not Ishmiele, Ilo Shmiele, Diav Shmiele Abamakabele, or Dilma Shmiele, Shmielehu Velo Kiblua. Right? So the Gemara says, Hodar, Pashit, Lenavshe, Mistabit Shmiel Velo Kiblua, Disokadat Hoshmielehu, Diav Shmuel Abamakabele, Hechem Estayim Ilsalem Echali Surah. And that's when the Gemara first brings in this idea, Hashta, the Hendon Shal Tzadikim, Ena Kodesh Baruch, maybe Takala Yadon, Tzadikim Atzman Loi Kolshake. Which sounds like a very kind of mystical idea, which we'll get to, we'll discuss the parameters in a couple of minutes. Meaning it's not the kind of thing you would encounter in Choshen Mishpat, certainly. But the Gemara does apply it here and elsewhere. Sometimes they apply it, sometimes they don't. The Gemara considers it to be a factor. And therefore, it may be an important way of defining certain classes of Isurim. So the first application that we have of this that we encounter in our Gemara then is Shchitas Kuti. If Shchitas Kuti is Kishchitas Goy, and therefore it's in Vela, Daraisa, Drabanon, whatever the case may be, it's even possible that it's Vela Daraisa, because it seems like that's what's so fascinating about this writing out of the Kutiim that we discussed. It seems like, they weren't just goes there. They were goes there, but it seems like it affected Daraisas, right? Kiddush of Kiddushin, even issues of that sort. So it sounds like what we're talking about is Nevela, either Nevela Daraisa or Nevela Drabanan, but basically the Gemara applies this principle of Behemet Shal Tzadikim, Ena Kodesh Baruch Hu, maybe Takala Yadam, to some sort of Nevela. Okay. Where else does the Gemara apply this? So for that we have to read on in the Sugya. So now let's continue, maybe Ezra. Where's Ezra? There he is.
Says that they did accept the writing out of Kutim. Isn't the Gemara possibly projecting into Kadosh Baruch Hu's Takala? Because so they accepted the Takana and Amram did eat it.
Oh, so, yeah. What do you do if you say that? So then you say Lo Shmiele, right? I mean, the Gemara has an alternative. The Gemara says either that they did write them out, but one second. The Maskana of the Gemara turned out. Right, but it turns out that they weren't written out. Right.
They were
written out later. In the time of Ravami and Ravasi, right?
Oh, so when Yochan Ravasi ate Shu's Kuti, it was earlier.
That's what the Rishonim say. Yeah, I didn't understand your question. Yeah. Later on, of course, we do accept that they were written out, but the Gemara itself asks, right, what happened here? So the Gemara says that in the time of Asir, Ravami, and Ravasi, when they bumped into the Hahu Saba, against the Gemara that we already read, so when they bumped into the Hahu Saba, and he said, not only, should you be careful, because Samta Sakim Bluacha in Bal Nefesh Atah, but this time he said, Ein Kan Shomrei Torah, right? So then they went back and they told the story to Ravami and Ravasi, and they made the Gzeira, and when the Rabbanan made it, Inu Gozer Velo Kibla Minayu, Osir Ravami Ravasi, Gozer Vekibla Minayu. Right? And actually, then it seemed even stronger that it wasn't just that Kuti's Shchita was Asura, but the stronger formulation, Mayav de Kachavim Gemurim, right? Asom Kav de Kachavim Gemurim, And even Linyan Shabbos, although that happens to be Dindra Rabbanan, that's, as we discussed, the, whether it's only Lekula, only Lechumra or Lekula. But basically, that would be the answer. So the Rishonim asked that question. He themselves ate earlier. What happened? The answer is that was before, and this is after their Gzeira. So it seems like the Gemara is sticking to the idea of Behemtan Shel Tzadikim in a Karsh Baruch Hu, maybe Takal Yadam, at least as far as Shkita and Nevela is concerned. Okay, so now Ezra is going to pick up with that. But then the Gemara goes on Vav Amud Aleph, right after that, right where we left off last time, which is, go ahead, Rab Zeira Virabasi, is that where we are? The Yai. So what are Beitzim HaMitzumakos B'Yayin? What's the significance of it, Ezra? Which part? The Yayin. Yeah, but not the Beitzim. Okay, so the question is, since they're Chayiv in Maestros, so there's a problem of Teva. Right? Go ahead. And yet they ate it. Ravasi ate it. Go ahead. So what does Lava Datai mean? I made a mistake. I wasn't thinking. Okay. So basically, the Gemara has at this point the idea that Tarovez Demai, if you have something which is Chayav B'Maestros, right, and it's obtained from an Amaretz, right, which means that it is Demai. So even if it's Nisarev and something else, so then the principle of Demai applies. That's what the Gemara is assuming. Tarovez Demai is Demai. Okay, go ahead. So that's why Nafak. So what does this tell us? There's a Tosefta that the what? That Tarovez Demai is okay. Below Gozru, that they weren't Gozru al Tarovez Demai. Okay, below Gozru, go ahead. So here, yeah, let's continue the Brisa. Go ahead. V'yamamar. So what do we see from there? What's the problem? What do we see from this Brisa?
Despite the fact that you're getting it back from her in Tarovez form, it still seems to be a problem.
Since you're choshesh l'sar v'tavel shabba mishum shviyas mishum aysar, that there is a problem of Tarovez demai. So the Gemara is not so sure whether Tarovez demai is acceptable or not. Derech Agav, the Gemara here has the Derech Agav, this Brisa, those in the Shechenta Isa Lefos and Kedera Levashel. So there are two points, two ha'aras to point out quickly. So Tosfos here has an important discussion. Ezra, you saw it? Yeah. Is Tavlin Chayev B'Maisros or not? There seems to be a lot of evidence. Seems a simple reading of this Gemara is that Tavlin would be obligated in Maisros, because that's the case. Sa'or B'Tavlin. Sa'or certainly is included in Maisros. What about Tavlin? It sounds like there's a problem of Meiser and of Shvius, and what's the issue?
It seems that it's not Tavlin by itself.
Oh, excellent. So in its Mitztaref, we had the, when we talked about Mefarcheses, we read that Mishnah, right, later on in the Masechta, meaning it's Mitztaref to the Shiur of Tumas Ochlin as an adjunct. But in its own right, it doesn't have the status of Ochel, and if you just, you know, in its own right, it would not be Metame Tumas Ochlin. And there's a rule, which is that there's a link between whatever is Metame, whatever is Roy for Tumas Ochlin, and whatever is Chayev B'Maestros. That's the question. So here it seems like there's a Chayev Maestros for Tavlin, and elsewhere it seems like Tavlin is only Mitzdarif L'Shior, but in its own right, it's not roi lachil. It doesn't have two masoch. That's the stira. So Aristotle's answer. That's Tosa's question. Excellent. Exactly. So Tosa says, in Ochanami, the question is a good question. You have to reread the Gemara in its light. And you have to say that Tavlin here refers to Shvius and not to Meiser. Tosas in other places gives a different answer. There are two types of Tavlin, right? Tosas and Yuma. If you look at the, they tell you look at Tosas and Yuma and look at Tosas and Nida. Or in those other places, Tosas, oh, there are two types of Tavlin. Okay. But basically, it's the same answer, meaning that the assumption of the question is correct, that Meiser and Tumas Ochlin are ha-baha Tavlin. Okay. The Rashash here, Alatar, has a different answer, a suggestion at least, and that is to be mechalek between trumos and maestros. So just keep that in the back of your mind. We'll come back to that. That maybe there's a difference between trumos and maestros. Why is there a difference between shvius and trumos, Ezra? Tosa says, "Dahabaychal." Yeah, go ahead. Tosa says, "Dahabamachal behema." Okay. So as opposed to Meisers. Meisers depends on Machal Adam. So the Rashash is Ha'ara, which is that maybe there's a difference between Trumos and Meisros, then becomes an interesting or important issue. Right. In the end, he says it doesn't answer all questions, but he thinks, at least, that that's a possibility, that Trumos applies even to Tavlin, even though Maestros depends on Tumas Ochlin. Okay, so hold off on that. We'll hold off on that for the moment. But the, in general, important issue in Zrayim is the relationship between Trumos and Maestros. Normally, we lump them all together. Okay, obviously, for purposes of Demai, we're mechalic between them, in somewhat. But that's for practical reason. Namely, we're not worried about Truma Gedola because, you know, everybody, even the Ami Aretz, knew that when it came to Truma Gedola, there's a key of Misa and there's a concept of Tevel, and therefore the Chashash, which is at root of Demai, doesn't apply to Trumos, only to Meisers. But that's the Dindra Banan of Demai for practical reasons. But when it comes to more fundamental questions, normally we assume that Trumos and Meisers go together. If we can find the discrepancies, that would be important. Especially since, if you think about it, there's reason to be mechalik between them. Right? Truma is matnas kahuna. It's asur lazar. Has a certain kedusha. Right? Maestros, whole different matter. Maestro Rishon. There's a debate between Rav Meir and the Chachamim whether it's asur lazar or not. But we paskin. Like the Chachamim, that it's Mutar Lazar. And even if it would be Asur Lazar, it would still be Mutar Levi. Levi's status is different than Kohen. It could just be that the whole concept of Meiser is different than the concept of Truma. And this is an issue which comes up in another context, which we're going to discuss too. Anybody know already, just from looking over the sugya quickly? Elliot? Looks like you wanted to say it. You're bursting out to say it. No? I misread you. Okay. Anybody else? Right? I mean, we encountered possibly on a Drabana level, but the question always is, what does it reflect? Anybody? But it could also does reflect on the Daraisa. Who was here when we learned Elichai? Go ahead. We find other differences between Trumos and Maestros. Several of them, actually. Okay. Achila Baoni, could be. We'll discuss that. What? Demai. Well, I just said Demai, but that Demai, it's for practical reasons. Namely, well, there is Trumas Meiser, right? But that's because, you know, they weren't Chosesh on that. What? Chutzlaretz, exactly. I mean, Tosus, the big Tosus here on Vav Med Beis, how many people have already read the Tosus on Vav Med Beis? Okay. We're getting there, right? By Sunday it'll be. But everybody knows what a Rinna Tam holds in that Gemara, right? So anyways, the Tosas on Vavim Beis on the is it on the Zayin Amud Aleph part of it already? On the Zayin Amud Aleph part of it discusses this question in terms of Gevulos, Eretz Yisrael and Rabbanon, whether Mechalik between Trumos and Maestros. Again, that may reflect something. What else? Oren? For the Rambam. Maybe. Possibly. Excellent. Regarding? You're absolutely right.
Regarding whether or not you require whether or not it's d'oraisa now.
Yeah, because of Bias Kolcha. The Rambam, in which is something which you have to, we'll definitely have to discuss, because that's part of the sugya here on Zayin Amud Aleph. The Rambam's view about Kedushas, Trumas Maisers, d'oraisa d'rabbanon. So the Rambam says, very famous piece, the last halacha on Hilchos, Trumos Perek Aleph, that Bizman Hazeh Trumos are d'rabbanon, because there's no Bias Kulchem, Rambam says. And then he says, V'yirali, it seems to me that that's true about Maestros as well. So it sounds like the Rambam was considering the possibility to be Mechalek, even on the question of Bizman Hazeh. See? I think it should go for the Mukaf, Al-Kabura, for sure. Bizman Hazeh, the Rambam is considering the possibility that Trumos would be Drabanan and Maestros would be Daraisa. Of course, that's different than the Tosus suggestion on the Drabanan level, right? That maybe there would be a more expansive Eretz Yisrael the Trumos than for Maestros. So we have to look Lekula and Lechumra. Again, this is a suggestion of the Rashash regarding the connection to Tumas Ochlin is to expand Trumos and to limit Maestros. It also comes up in another context here, which we'll also have to discuss. Again, connected to that Tosas, namely.
Oh, I don't. I haven't seen that Tosas, but Shabbos, in the issue in Shabbos about which produce it applies to.
Which
produce it applies to?
What do you mean?
Whether it applies to.
Muktzah, you mean?
No, Kinevus Yarek and not Kinevus Yarek. I mean, sorry, to Pitrios and the very beginning of. Of
Kol Gadol, on Kol Gadol.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, so that's it's. Oh, I see what you mean. But now you don't mean Shabbos. You mean the Gemara in Shabbos.
Yeah. Oh, right.
Not Shabbos the day.
No, Shabbos the.
Shabbos the Masechta. Yeah. Okay. Correct. Meaning, but so what is that issue about? I mean, what is Chayev Betrumos Maestros Daraisa? That's what you mean.
Yes.
Yeah, which is an issue that comes up in correct in the beginning of Kol Gadol. That's why I asked Eli Chai, and it also comes up in Ketzem Mevarchin, right? And it comes up in many other places too. And a Meiser Behemah, absolutely. And here, right? That's part of Tosis's discussion a little bit here as well. What is Chayiv Min HaTorah Betrumos Meisros? Dagon Tirosh V'Yitzar alone, or Peiros? Right, it's the Rambam, or where do you draw the line? Is it possible in that question? I'll give you a little list for these things, just when we sum up the big Tosas. Is it possible to be Mechalek in that question between Trumos and Maestros? Okay. So basically, I've just listed, I don't know if we'll go beyond that, but we'll just at least look at each thing and see what it's all about. Four different issues where normally we take Trumos and Maestros as a lump concept. Put them together, right? But as I say, logically, I mean, in the Torah they appear differently, they appear separately. The recipients are different. The status of the Heftza is different. So why should we always assume Trumas and Maestros are the same? They even say Trumas and Maestros, right? The Rambam has Hilchos Trumas and he has Hilchos Maestros. Okay. So are there any exceptions? Can we ever divorce one from the other? What is the pattern of that? So the Rashash here, I think, is. An interesting entry point. The question of Bizman Hazeh, the question of, again, we'll sum up the details of which Peiros, I mean, what is Daraisa, the question of the Gvulos. These are four issues just off the cuff where this question may come up. Okay, very good. So that's the little Tosis. The other issue that comes up here, of course, is the question of is there a Chashash of Shvius? In the same way that there's a chashash of Maestros. Right, that seems to be the simple reading of this of this Gemara, right? This Braisa, correct, Ezra?
Yeah.
So who discusses that? Yeah, so we'll get back to that for the moment, you're absolutely correct. The Ramban here discusses that question. Is there a chashash, are Amei Ha'aretz suspected of violating Shvius in the same way that they are suspected of being negligent about Hafrashas, Trumas, Umaistras? That is an important issue in its own right. I mean, this is a Shemitah year, so it's important, you know, per se. Inukh Shvius is important. It's also important, I think, for understanding Demai. How unique is Demai? And what is the center of Demai? Could there be a Demai? In fact, the Ramban has a line in which he says, well, maybe one could think that Shvius has an equivalent of Demai. Right? He actually has such a line. We'll get back to it. Or is it something unique about Demai? So this is a question that comes up here. The Ramban speaks about it here. He's quoting the Rashbam and Rabbeinu Tam. They, of course, discuss this in other places. If you look at the Tosas in Bechoros, on what is it, Lamed, Amid Beis, this is a discussion, and Tosas in Gittin, Tosas in a few places discuss it. Ramban has a good summary here, so we'll have to get back to that issue in its own right, very briefly. We're not going to spend too much time on it, but also in terms of what it reflects about the uniqueness of Maestros and Demai. Can there be an equivalent in Shvius of Demai? A question at least to raise. The third issue to mention here, just very quickly, is the this line. Where are we up to, actually, Ezra? Oh, the question only, right? Oh, okay, now we're up to the answer. We'll get to the answer. Go ahead. Shiny awesome. Oh. So that's an important line, too. And again, we're going to get back to it. I want to focus now on the Demai and the Takala, so I'm just raising these points, but we'll get very, very quickly. This line of Kivin de Omar Asuli Mishalichi Keman de Arv Biadayim Dami, the Rajba, right, discusses this and derives dinim from it. When I give somebody instructions, is it literally Keilu Ma'arev? We're done? Okay. Keilu Ma'arev Biadayim or not? So look at the Rajba, and we'll discuss it a little bit. And also the Rajba derived dinim from here. There's an interesting discussion of the Maariv Chayes here as well. If you get a chance, he discusses this question. Okay, let's continue. So anyway, according to the first answer, we'll still be able to stick with the view that Tarovez Demai is not prohibited. Okay, go ahead, Rafram. Oh. So what do you make of that?
It sounds like you're saying that in general, Tarovez Demai would be mutter.
Would be mutter. And if it's no Saint Tam or if it's not no Saint Tam?
It's not.
If it's not no Saint Tam at all? So this seems to be Machlokas Harishonim. Right? I mean, if you look at Rashi here, what is Rashi? As opposed to, in other words, what's the problem is the language of the Gemara sounds like it could depend on no same tam, right? But then what would be the chiddush, number one? And number two, why would we need the ksa'or and tavlin, which are particularly, I mean, are ksa'or and tavlin just the hechatimtzi of nesinas tam? Because they're very sharp and, you know, their taste comes through? Or because maybe it's tam even less than shishim? Is that all that the Gemara is saying? Possibly. Then the question would be, and what would be the Havamina to say that Taroves, if that's the case, then what would be the Havamina to say that Taroves Demai would be Demai? Because then you'd be talking about a case where there's no Saint Tam, so it would be Batel. Why wouldn't it be Batel like any other Bitel and Kalatarakula? So according to one Shita anyway, I think you're reading the Gemara correctly, according to one Shita, namely, whose Shita? Yossi? The Rambam. And the Rambam seems to say that this depends on Tam. The Radvaz certainly, regular Tam, certainly read it that way. So according to the Rambam, the Chiddush would be, this is very, very important, the Chiddush would be the Havamina, not the Maskana. Right? And on the contrary, what we're really saying is that a taroves, according to the dinim of Kol HaTorah Kula, namely of the regular dinim, nosing tam or tam ki'ikar, would seem to apply to demai, to taroves as well. The chiddush is a havamina. The havamina was that we're so, just like in demai, what would be the havamina even? Just like in demai, well, you could say it, Yossi. What would be the havamina? Why would we go beyond Nos and Tam? You're right. That would seem to be the Habamina. Like if you read the Gemara like the Rambam, why?
Had a hard time taking
it. Okay, Ariel?
We're already going against Rove, right? We're rejecting Rove at the base of it.
Except the Eidah Doma, this Rove to that Rove.
Correct.
But 100%. Right. In other words, so this would be, what you'd have to say is something like that, and that is, well, anyways, our obsession, our fear, our concern for Tabel is so great that we're throwing out the regular dinim of hachra to begin with. After all, assume, let's just say for the moment, rov ame aretz ma'asrin. And nonetheless, we're choshesh midrabanan for this tabel. So if that's true on an azlinan basa rov, kolder parish miruba parish level, right? Then maybe it's also true on a Tarovis level. Of course, again, you easily could have been Mechalek, because in the case of, of Azlinan Basarov, the question is, you may be encountering full-blown Tevel. Right? The question is in the probabilities that you are or that you're not. Whereas in the context of Tarovis, you might say, well, if it's Batel, it's Batel. Meaning it could be here, but it's here in a meaningless kind of a state. But I think you would have to say something like that. So according, if that indeed is the pshat in the Rambam, and that seems to be the way that the Radvaz at least understands it, so then basically what happens is the Havamina is important. It might be important for the Rambam's view of Demai. Maybe that we, because we're breaking rules and we're being machmir for chashash miut in demai, that extends also to quality, and not just to, to azlina basarov. But then in the maskana, there ends up being no special din, where we say, oh, we don't, we're not osar tarov as demai, we're just precluding that chiddush. But we are treating demai like we would treat any other iser, I guess iser drabanan. And then we're applying the rules of tam kiyaka. Who disagrees? Michael? Who doesn't interpret this way? Probably. Rashi, and even more explicitly, the Meiri. Right, Rashi and the Meiri both seem to say, and they both seem to zero in on the example. In other words, for the Rambam, the example of Sa'ar and Tavlin just would seem to be, well, there's Tavlin. Okay. Whereas for the Meiri and for Rashi, Sa'or and Tavlin are just like the Gemara's language. Number one, it's the cases, and it's also the language. Avidi l'tama? The l'tama avid. The tama l'batil. Meaning it's not just your regular tam ki ikar, but these particular items, that's how they make their impact. It's such that you have a chayfetz. The chayfetz basically is a ban, right? And now it's b'matzav of tarovas. Okay, and it's no Saint Tom. Okay, but it's still not in its ban state. It's in its tarovas state. That's the way to look at it. Again, obviously, a lot of this has to do with the nature of tam kiyakar, which we're not going to go into. However, when you have an item, right, which isn't just very sharp and therefore it's hard to get rid of it, but on the contrary, what it does, its nature, right? It's again, if we were studying Ketzad Mevarchin, right, which we're not, but if we were, so the question of what the nature of a food item is very crucial in Hum's Brachos, for example. What is its processed, and what is its natural? Depends what it's used for, primarily. And that is true, possibly, in other areas of halacha as well. So basically, the way to read the Gemara may be that when you have Sa'or and Tavlin, dilatame ovid, not just it's an incorrigible time, you just can't get rid of it. So it's always going to be there, even no matter how much of a tarovis it is. And that's not what they're saying. They're saying more than that. The saying is, if you have a be'en, a real be'en, and now it's in a state of taroves, even though it's no same time, and a kol tarakula maybe would say tam ki ikar or something like that, but still, it's still not the be'en. And then you have to make a decision in certain halachos, right? Namely, you know, when do you apply? Even then, it's not. I mean, tam ki ikar normally we would say so treat it as if it's there. But okay, but there's still a difference. We'll explain why, and specifically in the context of Demai, there's a difference between the Be'en as is and some other derivative form of it. It's not in its major or derivative, it's in a derivative rather than its, you know, primary and pristine form. But what we're really saying possibly in this Gemara is that when it comes to Sa'or and Tavlin, right, which are Latama Ovid, so that is their form. It's not like they're diluted and yet incorrigible. There's, you know, you can still taste them. They're meant to do this. Tavlin is meant to add spice to the, you know, to the mixture. And Sa'or is a catalyst. And that's what it's meant to accomplish. So therefore, it's like having, even in the state of Tarovis, it's like having the Be'en itself. But then the Chiddush is, however, Tarovis, Dmai, regular Tarovis, it's not the Tama Ovid. The rule of Tam Kikar doesn't apply to Tarovis, doesn't apply to Dmai. That's important. Now, there could be something in between these two perspectives, and that would be what I alluded to before. And that is, maybe there are two types of tam ki ikars. A tam ki ikar, which is goes according to the regular laws of regular foodstuffs, and which is, you know, either equal to or roughly equal to shishu. And then there are certain items which, you know, shishim is not koveya. So the point may be as follows. Maybe there are two types of tam ki ikars. I mean, there's a big debate among the Rishonim already, and Lahalacha as well, where we talk about, you know, tam ki ikar. Let's say you have shishim, but you have tam. Right? Now, some Rishonim will think if you have shishim, it's batel even if there is tam. Even according to the view of Tam Ki Ikar, that sounds like a pretty radical view. Right? It sounds like the Tam then is just a mechanism of figuring out how much presence there is of the Iser or whatever it is in the Taroves. So normally we gauge that by Tam, but the real Shear is shishim. That's not the majority view, but that's normally we look at the other way. We say shishim is an approximation of tam. It's tam, which is koveya. But even then, tam could be koveya because of tam, or tam could be koveya because as long as there's tam, then the presence of the item is clear and manifest. Again, these are big tam kikar issues. I'm not spending more than 5 minutes, or 2 minutes more on it. Obviously, these are very, very important nuances. I'm just trying to make a point, a specific point, which is that where, if you look at shishim as nothing more than a mechanism for tam, right, either because tam represents, you know, an iser in its own right, or because that's how you define presence, impact determines presence, right? So then there would be no difference between an object in which there was, you know, like the general ratio of tam and shishim, a little more, a little less, basically that, or something like tavlin and sa'ar, where, you know, even 1% or 0.5%, etc. It wouldn't make a difference, because in the end of the day, the shear is just about defining that presence, or it's the tam per se. And that's what's koveya. So the fact that the standard one is closer to whatever it is, 1.5%, and this is 1% or less, that's just a fact. Okay. However, if we say that it isn't about Tom per se, and it isn't even about the presence of Tom per se, but that that too is just a way of establishing general presence. Because if you held that Shishim was important, so then, or you might say then that there really are two dinim. There's a certain level of presence, proportional presence, ratio presence in a chayfetz. And in addition to that, there's also tam. And these are two different types of tam ki ikar. Because even if I say tam ki ikar will apply beyond shishim, but I don't deny that the standard ratio for most foodstuffs, right, is a different calculus than simple tam is. Because just like I was saying a second ago, there can be two perspectives in understanding how the what that complex relationship is between tam and shishim, so too it could be that both of these theses are correct. I mean, number one, there's a concept of the impact of tam in its own right, and number two, there is a way of being mishayer, a certain level of presence, minimum level of presence, you know, that that is important, but these are two different dinim, in which case we have two different concepts of taroves. You have a taroves where you're really focusing on a certain measure of presence of the ban, the Torah's presence of the ban, and then you have another idea, which not on so much presence of the ban, as much as you are talking about the impact of tam. In which case, maybe there could be a distinction between something which whose shishim is expressed only, whose tam is expressed largely in terms of shishim, as opposed to things that are avida latama, where things which are avida latama, in which you aren't going to have that regular proportion. Okay. So, again, let's maybe we'll get back to it, but these are something, this is an issue to consider. Okay. In any case, to sum up, you have machlokes, seems to be machlokes Rishonim understand taroves d'mai here, and the role of tam. Rashi and the Meiri seem to be saying this is something unique to tavlin and sa'or, because they're avida latama. The Rambam, certainly the way the Radvaz reads it, understand this seems to be the regular din of tam ki'ikar. According to the Rambam, the chiddush is in the Hava Mina that you would say, even with less than tam, choshishin letevel, and I think we have to explain it along the lines that we suggested, except it's still a big leap to say that miut in probability is comparable to miut in presence, namely in the context of taroves. But either way, the maskana then is that we don't say, but tam kikar does apply to demai as well. Whereas according to Rashi and Meiri, maybe the havamina is the havamina is totally understandable, tam kikar. The maskana is we don't say tam kikar and demai. That's a chiddush, that's important. As for tavlin and sar, so I'm suggesting two possible pshatim. One is that avida latama means that that is their expression of ben. I think that's the best pshat. Or that we're talking about different types of tam kikar. But the different types of tam kikar could go in either direction. What I'm saying is there are two of them. One could have said, I said before, which is tam kikar, which is rooted in shishim, refers to a certain objective level of presence as opposed to simply tam. Or you could say that in things that are avidi l'taima, that is not true. That avidi l'taima and avidi, in the case of Sa'or, is the catalyst, is a different kind of presence in tam kikar and the other direction as well. Okay, let's continue. Go ahead. Then the Gemara says, v'lechelufe. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this, of course, is very fascinating. This is what I meant, that we're going to have to speak very briefly. This is where there's a big Rajba and, you know, and then Ran. I'll give you some Armakomas later on, but you can already start looking. The Rajba here has a big klalim. When are we choshesh lechilufei? Klalei choshed, in a way. And the Ran disagrees with some of it, and you have to look in the Taras Habayis, the Rajba and the I'll give you the exact Maramakom as well. And I think the Yoredeya speaks, we speak about Sin Simin Kufyut Tess in Yoredeya. When are we choshesh lechilufei? And when not? So Nosen lechamoso, Ma'aser shunosen lo, v'ashunoto mimenu, shechashunu mechalefes ha-miskalke. Okay, what does that mean?
We're giving her everything.
Right, we're worried that she's going to exchange the ingredients. And the question is, why should you be choshesh in that case? Go ahead. So the Gemara says, right, and this is, I mean, you know, this is important in the world of relationships, right? This is the mother-in-law. Okay. We should note that the Rambam, anybody know? I mean, this is very beautiful, right? That it should be so. The only problem is the Rambam doesn't pask in this. Okay. Anyways, well, there's a Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi suggests that it's a machlokas on this point, whether it's true or not. And the Rambam doesn't pask in like this. Okay. The Meiri thinks for one reason. Well, we'll discuss it when we get to it and discuss the issues of chashash chiluf. But the Rambam paskins in this case that there is no chashuda michalepes hamiskalka. Okay, hopefully not because he rejects the idea of rotzi b'takonis bito goshen b'kasano. So maybe other things overcome that. I guess honesty or whatever. But okay, it's a very powerful Gemara. What can I say? Good. Le'amalo chashinan. Oh, so now we're talking about a pundikis. And again, the question is, are we worried about chiluf? Again, you know, you go to a hotel, you know, which is what this is. Can you trust the people there or not? Okay, go ahead. Oh. So that here's the machlokas of Rishonim, again, which is, you know, huge nafkamina, how you look, you know, at your balachsanya. Right. Rashi says, Ezra?
She's being nice.
She's being nice. You know, ah, I'm going to, you know, the tinokas shall base rabban, like they, you know, don't they deserve a hot meal? You know, I'd rather eat cold and stale, but, you know, those with, you know, havale piv, you know, Torah, they have to eat, you know, good meals. That's Rashi. Tosas?
She's saying, why should they get better than anything?
Yeah, those little, you know, kids, they have everything set out for them. You know, it's not like when we were growing up and had to walk 10 miles to school in the snow, you know, without shoes. So, you know, it's time for me to eat the hot food. That's what basically Tosas says. Correct? Go ahead. As for the Shcheno, this is Avogabe Shchento, Rashi Tosa says, Ein Locha Shlechilov, Alpha Bishatarachas Bishvilo, the Derech Shchenim Shatarachim Zeh Bishvil Zeh. So even as Tosa taketh away, in terms of the Achsanya, but Tosa says something very nice about the Shchenim. Okay. Shchenim, it's just, you know, they all live together. It's one harmonious and happy, you know, community. Right? Okay. So these are the Machlokas Rishonim, this is how to read the Gemara, which is very fascinating. But, okay, go ahead. Oh. So what's the issue here?
If you're making something with the Ishas Amara, it's how much do you have to worry that you're accidentally.
Yeah, the Eishes Chaver, does she have to worry? Do we have to worry that she will, you know, get caught up in working with the Eishes Amaretz and somehow she'll be corrupted in the process in terms of her hakiyum. The question is the debate between, did you get a chance to look at the debate between Rashi and Tosfos here? Yeah, go ahead, very quickly.
So Rashi says it's the, we're talking about whether the Isha's chaver is tmeret, or if she's tmeret, she knows not to touch it. So if she's tmeret, then she might.
Right, and the issue is for Rashi, what's the issue? Eating? Demai. Right? So according to Rashi, this is about eating demai. According to Tosfos,
flip it so that it's the ishes. Worry about the ishes on eyes who thinks that she's eating something to tire, and then the issue is eating.
And then she'll touch the food, and it'll become tame. And Tosfos makes the point very point makes the ha'ara very pointedly that this you know should be according to Pirush Mekuntres Tochenas Tvua etc. That according to Rashi, this should have been kosher. Hach Mishnah Misne b'Masechet Taharos, and the Pirush Mekuntres have lena Misne b'Masechet Demai. Right, meaning that's the wrong classification. Some of the if we're talking about Demai, so the some of the Achronim raise an important question here, namely, and really it's implicit in the Rambam and the Ravid already, but it's just a cute way they bring it in. Anybody? Jerry? David? Isn't there maybe a Svek Sveka here? Right? We have the question already earlier on Bava Ben Aleph. Right, in both things. Whenever you have the question of Chayshinan Lechilov, what's the concern about Chilov? I gave the ingredients, and I'm worried that the mother-in-law, because she was worried about her daughter and her, especially her son-in-law, so she switched the ingredients to the better ingredients, of course, right? And the same thing with, you know, with the according to Rashi at least, the Eishes Chaver Tochenesim Eishes Amaretz, we're worried about the fact that she is going to pick up the other person's food, which is demai. So in both cases, the question that arises is: isn't there a Svek Sveka? This is very important for demai. Well, what's a Svek Sveka? Suffek, whether there was a Chiluf in the first case, on Bava Ben Aleph. Im Tim Saloma, there was a Chiluf. So what was it? It was the Tvua of the Amaretz. But how do you know the Tvua of the Amaretz wasn't Hufrash? Svek Sveka. Right? Sorry?
It's
Dmai. This is Dmai. It's Dmai B'Suffek, basically.
It's on
Dmai. Oh. Okay, so that's an important issue. What do you mean? It depends on the nature of demai.
Right.
Yeah. So that's one case, and the second case is this case here, according to Rashi. According to Rashi, the problem is demai. So again, the suffix is whether or not she's going to pick up the food of the Amaretz. Right. If it is, then it's demai. So it's a suffix of demai. So that should be a svek sveka. So that's the question that they ask, and this, of course, is really a debate between the Rambam, see it, and the Ravid, right? The Ravid, the Rambam, and the Ravid have this question. Who has the? Did I bring it? Who has the Rambam here in Uchs Maisa? Yud Aleph Yud Gimel. Uchs Maisa. Go ahead, David. Again, the Achronim in the back here asked this question in various ways. I think Malo Aroim, I told you to look at on the sheet, but it doesn't really matter. I mean, it's an obvious question. Go ahead. A little louder, one more time. Oh, so the Rambam is mechalek between the days on the Tosefta, molich letochen shel Yisrael and shel Akum. And again, one more time, if it's tochen shel Akum, so what are you worried about? Even though you gave the, it's exactly our case, right? You gave the chitin, you gave the material, and you were metaking it. But we're worried, in the case of a non-Jew, that he's going to switch it And if he switches it, so then it's shell. If he switches it l'shel amaretz, then it's going to be demai problem. So what does the Ravid say about it? It's on the sheet here, right? In connection with this issue too, sfeik b'demai. The Ravid likes it or not? Yeah, go ahead, read it. The real stuff, again, it's a tosefta, so you have to explain it. So the Ravid says, yeah, no problem, but it's not that we're choshesh that he was machlif with perosh olam haaretz, because that would be safek demai, which by definition is svek sveka. Rather, the problem is maybe he exchanged it with his own, and his own are what's halacha? Chayim midrabanan. Now the Rambam that holds it, that's not so, as the Nosa Kalim point out. The Rambam himself holds that meruach akum is not chayim midrabanan. That's the reason he didn't like the Ravid's pshat. But of course, the question is, what do we do with the problem of svek sveka? Okay, so Dani said correctly, well, doesn't that depend on the nature of demai? That's exactly what we're interested in. So hold off on that. Is demai, well, it is a safek. In Metzius, it's certainly a safek. Namely, what is demai? You're not sure whether or not. If you knew for a fact that the Am Haaretz, if you had a chaver who was made that the Am Haaretz was ma'aser, okay, so then obviously there would be no problem. We don't believe the Am Haaretz. That's an issue. And therefore, we have a safek whether he was ma'aser. And therefore, you have to be ma'aser yourself. So on the surface, the Ravid's question is a good question. Dmai is a dindrabanan based on safek. So if you have two svekos, you should say svek sveka. What Donnie was obviously alluding to was the idea that maybe the safek is built in to dmai, and therefore you can't use it as one of the svek svekos. But even how you say that, you could say that in different ways, so we'll get back to that. I just want to again identify the issues in the Gemara for the moment. We'll get back to it. By the way, since I read this Rambam, just also quote the do you have the other Rambam about the mother-in-law? Just to Perkin Aleph Halacha Yidbeis Maiser. Just to show it on the books, the Rambam doesn't pass in that way. Yid Aleph Yidbeis, go ahead. Okay, so the mother-in-law is not chashud al-hach. That's the psak of the Rambam. The Nosa Kalim say it's based on the Tosefta. The Tosefta itself is mechalek. We'll get back to that maybe if we get a chance. But you should just know that the Rambam just doesn't accept, even though it seems like it's mekubal in the Gemara, there's no chokim. In the Rishalmi, there are qualifications, and the Rambam seems to be operating with it. Yeah?
It depends on the nature of the sveka, because the sopik boosts the sveka or started at the same time for you.
Okay, we'll get back to that. Hold off on that for a minute. You mean the svek sveka of the Ravid, you mean, and the Rambam?
Yes.
It could depend on the nature of svek sveka itself. Very possibly. Not only that, but just to add to you, to whet your appetite, again, we'll get back to this when we... I just want to identify the issues as we get along, and then we'll get back and summarize them and put them in context. But just to... there's another issue that the Achronim raise, particularly with regard to this Rambam, because if you want to say what Dani was alluding to, which is that it's a Demai issue, which I think is likely, so then one would think that one should say it across the board, right? That you never say Svek Sveka in Demai. But, again, I don't know how far everybody got in the Marmakomos. We'll find that out in a couple minutes when I poll everybody. But if you looked at, you know, this issue, I told you to look also at the Mishnah in Demai, Aleph Aleph, Hakalin Shebedemai. The first Mishnah in Demai speaks about Hakalin Shebedemai, where we're making and we don't have the Gzeira of Demai. The question is, what is the significance of Kalin Shebedemai? So in that, there's a debate between the Rash and the Rambam in Pirush HaMishnayis. The Rambam in Yad HaChazaka happens to interpret closer to the Rash, but we'll get back to that, or maybe not even then, maybe even more than that. We'll discuss it. But the Rambam in Pirush HaMishnayis says that HaKalin Shebedemai is a case of Svek Sveka. Safek Hefker, and there's Dmai to begin with, plus Safek Hefker. And Hefker is Pater B'Namaisa. So Safek Hefker, Safek Shamur, Vafilu Timsalomar Shamur, right? Maybe the Amaretz was Maaser. So Rabbi Kveger asked this question. I mean, I think others asked the question too. And that is, if the Rambam thinks that there's no Svek Sveka in Dmai, based on what he said in, what is it, Yud Aleph, what was it, Yud Aleph Yud Gimel? Yud Aleph Yud Gimel. So then, how come he thinks that Kalin Shem B'Dmai is Svek Sveka? So the question that you just raised a second ago, which is, well, maybe this is a Svek Sveka issue. Right, maybe different types of Svek Sveka. That's one possible avenue, or maybe within Dmai itself. It's also possible that the Rambam just changed his mind from Yad HaChazaka to Pirush Mishnayos on this crucial issue, which we'll get back to. So this is something to look at, and other Svek. So again, the Svek Sveka in our case, also these kind of issues. I should also note that there may be other Svek Svekas here, not Safek, the Radvaz actually, in his Perush on the Rambam, says that the Svek Sveka of the Ravid, all in those came, the Marikurkas, the Kesa Mishnah, when they want to explain what bothers the Ravid, they say, well, the Ravid means is a Svek Sveka, namely, Safek Chiluf, Vimtim Salomar, there was Chiluf, Safek Shema Ha'am Aretz Iser. Right? Now, that's a Svek Sveka. However, it's just worth noting, I think, that the Radvaz does not interpret the Ravid that way. Do you have it there, David? The Radvaz says that the Safek, aside from Chiluf, is... Go ahead. Ah. How do you know that he switched with an Amaretz? Maybe he switched with a Chaver. That's a Safek. In which case... It's not Safek Dmai, the Safek of Dmai plus a Safek of Hichlif. It's a Safek, maybe it isn't Dmai, for two reasons. Number one, lo Hichlif, and number two, maybe Hichlif Bechaver. That's the Radvaz. If you look at the other hand, just to make it clear, you have the Mari Korkas on the Kesa Mishnah?
Yeah.
Go ahead. When he explains the Ravid Safek. Isran. Yeah, meaning that's Dmai, right? I mean, it's the Safek. Maybe it isn't Dmai because maybe he was really Maaser, and that's the Mari. You don't have to look at it. It's a little longer, but look at the Mari Korkas for his explanation of the Svek Sveka. Not now. When we summarize it, just look at it. But he also says, like the Kesa Mishnah. So it's interesting that the Radvaz, I mean, Dani was like, you know, practically appalled, you know, when I raised this question a second ago, right? And, so we have to do something, you know, to soothe his outraged, you know, sensibility too. Meaning the Ravid really holds it as a Svek Sveka? Not really, right? Not according to the Radvaz. But in the other direction, there are people who are grappling with, yeah, that is a Svek Sveka. What are you going to do with the Rambam? And especially in light of Pirush Mishnayos. Okay. But of course, this is a question in general, whether or not, again, even the people who think that it's not a Svek Sveka, some say for Dani's reason, which we'll discuss soon, and others say, no, not exactly. There are variations in that too. So look to the Mari Korkas on that point, and that might be relevant to some of the other applications. We should note, I mean, just again, to, you know, indeed, if the Ravid is really asking, like the Kesa Mishnah and the Mari Korkas, that the Dmai part should be considered a Safek in the constellation of Svek Sveka, so is it fair, even if the Ravid really does hold that way, so is it fair for him to impose this on the Rambam? Does the Rambam think that Dmai is a Safek? So just for one second, just again, the if we can be devil's advocate, right?
Sure.
Okay, thank you. David? Perek, what is it, Tess? Hilchos Meiser, Halakha Aleph. So what does he call it? What does he say? Perosayim Safek. Right? Okay, so number one, he does use that expression Safek. You could say that's before, that's the background before for the Gzeirah of the mind. Yeah, if you look at the Mishnah Melech.
It says that it doesn't make it Safek. There are two types of...
Yeah, no, but the two types of... What are the two types of... Mishnah Melech does say there are two types of Demai. Or what are the two types of Demai? That doesn't exactly help you, I don't think. One is... What are the two types of Demai? No, I happen to both mostly agree with you. I'm just trying to think about that. I'm not sure the Mishnah Melech. What are you getting from the Mishnah Melech?
That there's Demai where he tells the Badai that he did...
But we don't believe him.
But we don't believe him. And there's Demai where you find it on the street.
Right.
And we're not sure.
Right. So, and which one... So that's true. The Mishnah Melech says it, and then we'll discuss that. But what does that... Is that necessarily relevant to the question whether Al-Pidin we consider Demai to be Safek?
I thought what he meant was that the first category is really... It's really Demai. And the second category was just colloquially Demai. Call it Demai, but it's really a suffix.
It's even more than Demai.
Right.
But in a way,
there,
you're
there
saying...
it's actually a suffix.
Right, but there's a certain irony for what you're saying here, because which might actually be correct, but at least we should identify, which is, you're saying it's not a suffix, it's a vada.
Right.
And it's a vadai, chiyuv, lahafrish, or isur, etc. Now that's the classic case of Demai, about which we say we don't believe the, at least according to the Rambam, we don't believe the Amaretz. So in a way, that's the more chomor perspective. So you're contrasting that with the other kind of where you don't have the guy to ask, you just find it in the street, and you assume or know that it came from an Amaretz, and you can't even check with him. Right? So that, one would think, would be more of a problem, which, and again, what does the Mishnah Melech say it for? Oh, the maybe, he's not sure. Right? That's a safek. Do you have to also take Truma Gedola in that case? Because the Chazaka that Amei Aretz were worried about Truma Gedola, maybe that only means that there's Nemonis for it, but not beyond it.
Right.
So I'm saying there's a certain irony in what you're saying, in that the classic case of Demai, which you want to say is not a Safek, but a Chiyuv, but an Iser Vadai, more Chomor in other words, is actually less Chomor in the Mishnah Lamal's perspective in terms of Truma Gedola. Right? I mean, in either way, in either case, there still is probably
it's less humor because there's different things going on.
Right. Okay, I'm just saying, but you could see that there's a bit of an issue and a problem. The Mishnah Melech we'll get back to is very important, but I don't think per se that the Mishnah Melech proves one way or another whether classic Demai is a Safek or a Vada. I mean, the Safek that he has and the issue that he raises is very, very important. Namely, what is the relationship between two things in Demai? The Nemanus of the Ama Aretz and the way that we treat a Safek Tevel. That's an issue that he's highlighting. But per se, that doesn't have to prejudice whether or not Demai is considered Midrabanan, a Safek or a Vada. But it, right, you have to relate to this irony either way. Of course, then you look at Halacha Dalid for a second. Again, in Perek Tes Halacha Aleph in the Rambam, one might have said, well, that's just, you know, a second before the Takana. The background is that it's Safek, otherwise there wouldn't be a Takana, but maybe the Takana is that we don't treat it as Safek anymore, correct? So I'm just pointing out the language of Safek and Tes Aleph, which I think is important, but it's certainly not definitive. What about Perek Tes Halacha, what is it, Gimel or Dalid? Bracha, when he talks about Dalid? Go ahead. So there the Rambam says, in the of course we have to talk about it more, much more, but the Rambam says in the context of whether you make a bracha, everybody agrees you don't make a bracha on Dma. And the Rambam's formulation is, because it is a Safek. Now that already is after the Takana of Dmai, so that's a little more even than Perek Tes Halach Aleph. So if we're treating it as a Safek, there are two problems with the Rambam. Number one is the problem that all the Nosa Kalim ask there, David, which is? That's Abaya's language in the Gemara in Shabbos of Gimel Amud Aleph, that we don't make a bracha because it's a Safek. But Rava there says a different explanation, and that is Rov Ame Aretz Ma'asrin. And since Rov Ame Aretz Ma'asrin, that's not a Safek, maybe you would make a bracha. But here there's a Rov, and therefore you don't make a bracha. Don't we paskin like Rava? In which case, if we paskin like Rava, why is the Rambam saying Safek? So we'll get back to that. So, but that makes it even more important in a way. Namely, what I'm asking is, if the answer to the Rambam is there's no problem of Svek Sveka because it's not a Safek, number one, what are you going to do with Kalin Shebidmai? That's A. Okay, maybe that's Pirush Mishnayos, maybe he changed his mind on that. That's very possible. Number two, what about Perek Tes Halacha Aleph? Say, all right, that's a description of that's the background of the Takana, it's not the Takana itself. But Perek Tes Halacha Dalet is already the Takana. And if it's the Takana, so... But then it's more than that. It's the Takana, and the Rambam is actually going out of his way to use this formulation when it is problematic and he shouldn't have. That's the question all the notes of Kalim are asking. There's one Marmokom, I can give you a few other Marmokomas before we end, but in this connection, I should have put it on, I was trying to save you time, but there's a famous tshuva of the Rambam to Chachmei Lunil on the question of Bracha L'Safek. It's a massive tshuva, but we don't really need to get into the whole issue. I gave you the Rambam Hilchos Chanukah, but it's all over the place, the Rambam Shita about Bracha L'Safek. It's in Hilchos Chanukah, in Hilchos Meiser, it comes up in Hilchos Sukkah, when Ram talks about whether Androgynous, you know, makes a bracha on the sukkah and sits in the sukkah, and it comes up in Hilchos Mila. When you have a Safek Mila, whether you make a bracha. Look at the Rambam's in different places. The Rambam derived in different places. Based on that Gemara and Shabbos on Chav Gimel. But the tshuva of the Chachmei Luniel that the Rambam wrote on this topic, so it's quoted by the Kesef Mishnah in the end of Hilchos Mila on that Rambam. So it's just important. The lines that he has about Demai and this question of Safek are important to that. We'll get back to it. Just, again, right now we're consciousness raising. So the question of our Gemara, the Gemara in Vav Amud Aleph, and the parallel to the Rambam, why isn't that a Svek Sveka? That's one issue. Then you have the Rambam and the Ravid exactly on that topic. It seems that they argue, that they debate that point. Maybe the Ravid doesn't debate it. That's a Machlokas Radvaz versus Kesef Mishnah and Mari Kurkis. As for the Rambam, how will we get out of the problem for the Rambam? So look at the formulations of the Mari Kurkis and the Kesef Mishnah. I think the Rabbi Kiva Eger that I referred to is printed in the Frankel Rambam, Al Atar. Tosfos Rabbi Kiva Eger and Demai. But it's printed in the Frankel Rambam there as well. We'll discuss that. How does that relate to Kalin Shebe Demai? Moreover, if the Rambam thinks that Demai is Al-Pidin, not a Safek, which we'll explain in a few more minutes, so what do you do with Perek Tes Halacha Aleph, and especially Perek Tes Halacha Dalid, the question of Safek Bracha, and especially his going out of his way to embrace Abaya in that context? And when you get a chance to look at the Chachamim, we'll fill in the picture as we go on. Okay. Let's get back to... There's also an interesting exchange here between Rashi and Tosis and the other Rishonim regarding Ezra on the Eishes Chavar Tochenes and Eishes Hamaretz on the issue of Gezela. Just very briefly, namely?
Rashi says that it's the Eishes Hamaretz will be
stealed from Baal. Yeah, when Eishes Hamaretz gives a little bit to her helper, Shechena, is that less than like a Schirus Poalim, where the Poal is allowed to, you know, to eat a little bit? You know, that's just part of the lack of commitment. That's part of the work context. And that seems to be a debate between Rashi and Tosis and some of the other Rishonim here as well. Halach l'maisa, that's an important issue. Okay. So maybe we'll get to that later. If not, at least we know that's part of the debate here between Rashi and Tosis. Let's continue. Go ahead.
Okay, right.
Yeah, which is, of course, is connected to this point. Go ahead.
Rabbi Meir, she'achal ala she'yerek v'beishan. V'hiti rabbi et beishan kula ayada.
Okay. So, this, of course, is some of the Achronim asked the question here. The Gemara says about Basra, about, you know, if you see a Talmud Chacham render a certain psak that you're not supposed to, or is it Kuf Lamed, I think, that you're not supposed to, you know, project from there, you know, to all sorts of. How does that Gemara fit into to this this story that, you know, he was Matir, the Yerek, the Beit Shan, and Hitir Rebbe is Beit Shan Kula, Al Yado. Okay. But anyways, that aside, go ahead. Chibro alav echav.
Chibro alav echav beis aviv. Amelo, makom shavetecha v'avos avetecha, nagu bo iser. Hatatino bo iser.
So this, of course, is really, you know, from a meta halachic, you know, issues, this is a very important Gemara.
Right.
The question of precedence and, you know, minaga mako, minaga mishpacha, what it takes to overcome that, very crucial issue. Go ahead. Okay, so Rashi, number one, there's an interesting discussion here. Tosas, again, we'll get back to it, but Tosas has a discussion, you know, whether or not this would apply only in this kind of a case or not. And that's whether you limit Makom Sheniko Liskad Derbo to a case like, you know, where maybe there was some other good reason, you know, why it was left behind, etc. That's the Tosas Dimas Ela Makom. And there's also an interesting discussion what the words Makom Sheniko Liskad Derbo means. Rashi is very strange here, one could say. Rashi says, "Kishiyavo b'neinu achreinu, when lo yimatzu malatakein, b'mei gadel shemam." Sounds like it's a question of glory. You know, we want to give people the opportunity to be mechadesh, so that they can, you know, they can, you know, achieve a certain stature. Whereas the simple reading is that, you know, it's part of the halakhic process itself, namely the idea that that there always has to be room for chiddush and for contributions. It's not a question of gidul shemam, or maybe that's what Rashi means. That gidul shemam isn't about self-aggrandizement and it's not about reputation, but it means deservedly agadel shemecha. That's what I always thought. It might be a drasha, but meaning it's not about, you know, your popularity and how other people perceive you and whether you'll get respect as an innovator, but gidul hashem is a substantive thing, agadel shemecha, meaning a person is elevated by his by the contributions that he truly makes. Either way, look at the I think Shitu Kubetzis has a different interpretation along those lines. Makom Minichol is God. It's important for every generation that you have the potential of adding to the Mesorah. That's what the Mesorah is. You don't want the Mesorah to become dried out and just a matter of memory. But it has to be something that is living, for the sake of halacha and also for the growth of Talmid Chachamim. In that sense, Zgad El Shemam, it becomes an important issue. But we'll speak about it a little bit more, maybe. Go ahead. Yikan the Talmid Chachamim. Yeah. So Mandam Mazchichin. Again, what these three things are. Again, the three different issues that you need to consider, obviously, when one puts himself out on a limb. Again, this is a very, from a, you know, reticence point of view, this is a very important Gemara, meaning it's true that somebody who comes up with a true chiddush and halacha, that we respect it, and it's important that there be that potential, but at the same time, we see from this Gemara that these are the matters to be concerned about. Namely, is your chiddush a function of your lack of understanding of what went on previously? Is it a function of your own arrogance? So the way Rashi interprets meaning previous precedent can't per se win out, but the other things are mazchichin. You have to check, is it gavascha gormalo shelo hitisa ozem l'shmoa davarkil chasam epi rabcha, or zechuche gvoe halev shelo diktek epi rabba kol tzarko. Meaning these are some of the issues that you have to consider before you decide that your chiddush is authentic and it isn't really self-aggrandizement, but it is something which you know, which is able to overturn previous precedent, and which, you know, which should be added to the Masorah. It's a, even as the Gemara here is very, very strong about that potential and the value of it, it also, you know, hints at what you need to overcome. Go ahead. Ezra?
The letter of the
Lord is
in the
time
of Mishra.
Okay. So Beit Shan was part of the original Kedushas Haaretz. Go ahead. Ishtamite. So this is one of the issues that we're going to have to discuss, not right now, and that is the difference between Kibbutz Yehoshua and the return of Ezra, and whether they're the same, basically, but a different geographic area, or qualitatively the Kiddush was different. Which one was Chal? Was the second one Chal? Why was the second one Chal more than the first? We'll discuss that briefly when we discuss Kiddush's Arutz. Go ahead. Ksava Kiddush Rishona. That also we'll have to discuss. Rashi has a certain view on that matter, and the Rambam has a totally different reading, other Rishonim as well. So what does it mean that hinichum kedesh yismichu aleihem aniyim b'shvias? We'll get back to that as well. Now this Gemara, okay, leave one more line. Amar Rabbi Yirmiyahu Rav Zeira. Oh, meaning he was saying, oh, if it's Allah B'Alma, so there wasn't Meruach, so it shouldn't have been a problem. It shouldn't have been an issue. The answer is there was Meruach. Tnan, Yerek HaNegad. Okay. Then the Gemara says, V'dilma. Oh, so now we have the third, the Hemtan Shel Tzadikin. Okay, well, the first one was Shchitas Kuti. Right, that was clear. The second one was, if you hold that there is an Isur of Tarovas Demai, right, then there should be Behemtan Shal Tzadikim and Akash Baruch Hu Mevi Takal Al Yadan. So that's Tarovas Demai, Leman Da Amar Tarovas Demai Zasar. And now we have the third one, and that is Yerek the Beit Shan, if Rabbi Meir made a mistake. Okay, now, what is this talking about, Yerek Beit Shan? The Raisa Drabanan, firstly. Ezra? Who be Nisa Daraisa? Yerek? Trumas and Maestros? Yerakos? The Pashas from Yerek is Drabanan. Okay, but what Isa Drabanan are we talking about? Tevel Drabanan? Or Dmai? Did you really get a chance to look at Big Tosis yet? Yeah, okay. I mean, again, I that's a Big Tosis. Anybody get a chance to look at it yet? Simcha?
I think there's an issue of Dmai.
According to who? Everybody?
No, it's Machlokas and Dmai.
Yeah. Well, it's not Machlokas and the Gemara, it's Machlokas and Tosas. How to read the Gemara. I mean, the simple reading at the beginning of Tosas assumes that we're talking about Yerek Vadai. Rabbeinu Tam came along, that's if you look here in the middle, this is very important for our Dmai topic. Rabbeinu Tam came along and said, anybody have a line? On Vav Mud Beis. Amar Rabbeinu Tam, here. Amar Rabbeinu Tam, about 10 lines or so down. Amar Rabbeinu Tam, the Hacha with Perek Rabbi Shmuel, I read B'dmai. The Ein Noeg B'chutz Laretz. Kinu Tam, the Sechaz D'mai, Miksiv Halan, Potem and Admai. Awa Vadai Teva, Chai B'chol Makom. According to Rabbeinu Tam, now he says it for a different reason. But according to Rabbeinu Tam, this Gemara of Yerek, the Beit Shan, is talking about D'mai. According to most Bali Tosafot, it's talking about Vadai. If it's somewhat Vadai, there's still a Kiddush. And that is the Kiddush that Takola of Behemt and Shal Tzadikim applies to Drabana. Okay, that we had already possibly in the previous Gemara too. Right? Dmai. Except that there... Well, okay. Let's leave it at that for the moment. Okay, so if we're talking about Yerek, it's Drabanan. But if we're talking about Dmai, according to Ben Tam, so it's a bigger Chiddush. And that is that the din of in Kodesh Baruch Hu, maybe Takal al Yadam, applies to Dmai as well. Didn't we have that Chiddush previously on Vav Amud Aleph? Did we?
Tarovus.
Ah, Tarovus, according to it, said bigger Chiddush or it's the lesser Chiddush?
It's a bigger Chiddush to say it would apply to Tarovus.
So we are, so for sure, what am I fussing about on Zion Amud Aleph?
Oh.
Right? Ah, so here's my theory. Okay. What am I trying to convey here? We'll see in a minute, but according to the Rabbeinu Tam and the Reed, the Baalei Tosfos, we discussed in the last shiur, the supplementary one, namely, what did we say? What is their view, Hamad Beis? That you all saw. Yeah?
Only by
Achila. So, and by any Achila? By any Achila? Or there are Achilas which are also not covered by Takal Yada? Okay, good. Tzaddik, one, wonderful. Or
Macholos Asuros.
Macholos Asuros, as opposed to Yom Kippur, right? Havdalah, okay, Havdalah, but Yom Kippur, wow, Yom Kippur's not covered because that's only the timeliness of it, right? But well, Havdalah's Askara, right? So that's also pretty bad. So, what about Dmai? What about Drabanans in general? It's a Chiddush. Are Drabanans Macholos Asuros? That's what I'm trying to show is, it's not Isur Achilas, it's Macholos Asuros. Is Dmai Macholos Asuros? Not so clear. Right? After all, there are all sorts of Kulas associated with Dmai. Namely, give me one example. What?
It could be that,
sure.
It's not just Machal Surah, but it's also Shir and the Gnai. There's something that is like.
Shir and the?
In how much of a Gnai is it? It seems to be like by the field, there's a certain Gnai of being something that's Asur. So even if it's not necessarily Machal Surah in itself, but it's something that's always Asur, something that's seen. You know,
maybe. You could be right. You could be right. If that's how you want to interpret the Beta Tom, you could be right. You could be right.
So
you wouldn't say, so even if something is an Isur Gavra, but it's an achila, and it's an ochel that's aser b'achilas gavra, you would say that this applies to. Some achronim disagree with you. I mean, certainly the Netziv disagrees, as we discussed in that last year. Namely, what does he say?
B'tamtei
misalev, right? He's mechalek between macholos asuros. For example, on Shabbos, when you have to do akalakal, so you have to choose between shechting, right, a kosher animal, shkuta, in doing a malacha daraisa on Shabbos, which is more chamor, or eating nevela. What's worse, doing a malacha on Shabbos or eating a nevela? Eating a nevela is a lav. Doing a malacha on Shabbos is misa. Which is worse? Presumably. And you could say, ena toyodeo matan tzchar and shabbos. But, right? Presumably, so what do? So that's a machlokas. So the Rishonim will hold that you shech the animal. Why is that? Right. Like you get to hutra, the chuya, fine. That's an approach. The Netziv in that piece says the reason is because there's something about Macholos Asuros that is different. Namely, it's not just an Isur Gavra. He doesn't speak about it only as an Isur Chafetz either. He says more. Metamte Mesalev. And that's why even the child, you know, you're not Yonek, the Jewish child, in a non-Jewish environment or source, right? Because even though he's a child and there's no Isur Gavra or anything like that, it's Metamte Mesalev. Okay, so the Netziv certainly doesn't think that any Isur Achila Sagavra is a Gnai. He didn't think that way. But even if you don't like the Netziv, there's another way to look at it. And that is that the distinction is between Macholos Asuros and Isure Gavra. Right? In other words, again, I'm not saying that you're wrong. I'm just telling you how you could look at it. That's why Yom Kippur and so on. Mashal Ma'adavar Dama, I think I mentioned this at that time as well. I'll stop in a minute. The question whether you make, again, the seventh parak of brachos, right? By now, probably yeshiva is on the seventh parak. So, in the seventh parak of brachos, the issue comes up. Do you make a bracha when you eat a Dvar Iser? Do you bench? Do you make a bracha Rishona? Do you have a Zimun? Rishonim draw the line in different places. So some of them, the Ritva discussed the question. Maybe you should be mechalek between eating Macholos Asuros and eating on Yom Kippur. Right? And even then you can be mechalek between two scenarios, right? One is B'Iser, and the other is B'Pikuach Nefesh. Because the question about making a bracha, or whether you get into a kind of a, to use last year's references, you know, call it Borech Hareze Menait, Borech Eitz Avarech HaLe Menait, Borech Birech Nietz Hashem. When you get into that issue or not is a question, both on an Iser level and on a Pikuach Nefesh Heter level because of the Chavetz itself. But there are some who make this distinction in either way, or make the distinction on that point itself. Namely, Pikuach Nefesh will help you in an Achila B'Yom Kippur that you'll make a bracha, but it's not going to help you on Macholos Asuras. Why? So again, if you want to take it from the Tziv point of view, it would be parallel to that Kalakal issue in a way, namely Tzmitam Temes Aleim. But another way to say it is, there's a difference between Chefta Shal Macholos Asuras and the Iser Gavra of Achila. Number one, Pikuach Nefesh. Pikuach Nefesh doesn't mean it's not Matam Temes Aleim, it isn't Macholos Asuras. But it doesn't mean that it's a Heter Gavra. And if all the Iser Achila is based on is an Iser Achila's Agava, then Pikuach Nefesh is going to be more profoundly relevant. Okay. Again, the details, where you draw the line in that, is not the point right now. Look at the Ra, look at the Ritva, look at the Rishonim. Which kind of Bracha, which kind of Pikuach Nefesh, this, that. It doesn't matter. But you get the general idea. What I'm saying is, where you have, is that what's going on in Tosis? So there are some Achronim who interpret that way. So what Tosis really means here is the difference between, even if you don't say Metamte Mesalev like the Netziv, but I guess the lumdus equivalent of it is Chefta Shel Macholos Asuros versus Ma'is Achila. So that's why Dmai, as applied, again, Shechitas Kuti, whether Daraisa Drabanan, the Veil of Daraisa and the Veil of Drabanan, fine, no problem with that. The Kiddush and the Drabanan, we probably can't avoid the Drabanans because of these sugyas here. But although there is one way to avoid that, too. I'll get that in one second. But the question of what the nature of the Drabanan is, right, becomes important. Is it Kain Daraisa? Maybe that's important. Well, Dmai is Kain Daraisa, maybe in the sense of Teva. But is Dmai Macholos Asuros? Machilim Lachsanya Ulanim Dmai. That was the Rav's favorite Raya. He believed strongly that Dmai is not Macholos Asuros. Is it Yisra Achilas Agavar or Achiyav Afrasha?
We didn't say Migo Di by Machter Kol Chosay.
Yeah, that's we'll get to that. Do you have to say it? Or do you really mean it when you say it? So we'll get to that. So if that's true, then the application of Behemdan Shal Tzadikim and Takala to Dmai is very, very important. Oh, but we have three applications of it. We didn't get to the end of the Gemara. Well, I guess we'll stop and we'll continue with the end of the Gemara and then we'll go back next time. But let me just say, the three applications of the Gemara on Vav Amud Aleph, Zayin Amud Aleph, and then again on Zayin Amud Beis. All three seem to apply Takala to Dmai. And in light of Tosus, that becomes very, very important. So according to, but why do I say, if it's Tarovez, Dmai, and Vav Amud Aleph already, so then that's the biggest problem of all, right? That's what Akiva and I kind of agreed with, too, and we coordinated a minute ago, right? So I was trying to say, not necessarily. And that is for the following reason. Let me just raise the question, and then we'll finish this up on Sunday. Does our perspective on Dmai itself, okay, depend on whether or not we extend Dmai to Tarovez Dmai? In which case, from the perspective of the Gemara in Vav Amud Aleph, the Gemara only applied Takala to Dmai in the case of Tarovez Dmai if Tarovez Dmai is Asur. But Lahalacha, that Tarovez Dmai is not Asur, maybe that changes our perspective on Dmai. That's what I'm asking is, Tarovus Dmai being permitted is just a technicality and a kula, or it's a crucial issue which underscores this issue itself, what is the nature of it. In which case, if Zayin Amud Aleph is not read like Rabbeinu Tam, and it's talking about Demai, then Vav Amud Aleph and Zayin Amud Aleph are not really proofs that Demai is applied to Takala. Hi, what about Zayin Amud Beis? We haven't read it yet, because I kept interrupting Ezra, and he was doing a great job, but I kept interrupting him. So we'll finish reading this, the Shaka Vitaria, on Sunday, but Zayin Amud Beis, it seems really explicit. Right? That's the real story of Pinchas Ben Yair. But the real story of Pinchas Ben Yair has a certain advantage, or a certain wild card, that the others don't. And in the others, everything is speculation. In the Pinchas Ben Yair, something really happened. Meaning, the animal wouldn't eat the demai, or wouldn't eat. So there's another question there, and that is, the animal wouldn't eat the demai. When you look at the language of the Gemara says, Amalu Dilma lo ma'asra nasrinu. They didn't say Dilma demai hava. Meaning, the animal didn't eat it because it was demai, or the animal didn't eat it because it was tevel. But then the Gemara continues and says, what are you talking about? There's no Isur Demai because it's Lokech Lezera Lebehema Vekemach Laoros, the Shem and Lener. So then the Gemara is talking about Demai, right? So that's why I want to. That's a crucial issue. Possibly, and this goes to Don's question too, goes to both of these questions. A, is Demai Macholos Asuros? B, is Demai really a Safek? And is it a Safek on two levels? Is it a safek that it's ena meusar? Is it a safek that it's meusar? The question we were asking before, that Donnie was commenting on, the whether it's a safek, the complicated, that complicated question is a question of maybe it was meusar already, right? So maybe you don't have to do anything. But is there also a safek, maybe it's really tevel daraisa? On the demai drabanan level too? That's what I want to get into, and then move back to some of the other issues. Just let me give you a couple of Marmakomas just for 1 minute, just to fill out the picture on the Demai. Again, I don't want to get too involved because I want to move to the other topics, but on Safek Tevel also. Also make sure to look at the Gemara in Menachos. If you saw the Asfan Daraisa, which is very important, so he quotes about the Gemara in Menachos, Lamed Aleph Omed Aleph, whether you can be Ma'aser on from Tevel to from Demai to Tevel Drabanan, that Gemara Lamed Aleph. The Mishnah Melech, the Mishnah Demai Hey Gimel, and the Mishnah Melech Perek Hey Alacha Yudzayin, and Hilchos Trumas, not Maestros. Hilchos Trumas Perek Hey Alacha Yudzayin. And if you get a chance, the Torah Zroim on that Mishnah in Demai Hey Gimel, the Chuvas Aramim in the Kesef Mishnah I told you already, and also on the question: is there a Chazaka of Tevel? In general, just quickly, if you get a chance, the Gemara I'll speak about it in 5 minutes. But Yevamos Pechesam and Aleph, and the Tosfos in Yevamos Kufyut Tesam and Beis, the end of Divrei Maskil Machvarta, and Tosfos in Bechoros Chafam and Aleph, the end of Divrei Maskil Ibaisema. And if you get a chance, also Tosfos in Bechoros Yud Aleph and Beis Divrei Maskil Tvalim. But again, the other Makoros first. Okay, so we'll continue with this and try to finish it on, and then I'll give you my Makomos for the other.